At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I got a couple of college basketball points that I want to make. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. We are live at the Boulevard Beer Hall. Is this considered downtown Kansas City? Are we in the crossroads? Where would you say that we are? I mean, I know where we are, but...
You know what? I would tell people we're on the Boulevard. I know.
Thanks, Rob.
You're welcome. But, like, you know what? If you were like, hey, I'm at Ponax, what would you tell people?
I would tell them I'm on Southwest Boulevard.
Yeah, that's the same. It's like down the block. It's the same.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think it's cross. I can see the crossroads, but I'm not in the crossroads. I can see the downtown, but I'm not in downtown.
Okay, yeah. No, I just wanted to.
It's
know
a great question.
Wanted you to know what you would call it. 913-586-7965. Let me know what you would think. You guys obviously know where we are. You pass it if you're on 35. That's where we are right now.
We're
would you consider
the
we are downtown?
Wheel. That's what I tell people. We're at the Ferris wheel.
Have you been on the Ferris wheel?
No. I've not been on the Ferris wheel either.
I wouldn't say I have no interest on it. I'm just not sure if the view is scenic enough for me to pay to do it. Like, I'm just not really sure if the view is scenic enough. Like, what do I need an aerial view of? Like, I understand some places that you would pay. Like, in Las Vegas, if you go on the high roller or you go on the Eiffel Tower one. What am I looking at if I go on? I'm looking at the roof of the Boulevard Brewing Hall. That's what I'm looking at, the roof of?
I would also tell you, like, you can look.
I want to see Bartle Hall from up high?
I don't think the Ferris wheel is that tall. So, like, you're still going to be looking up at the tallest buildings in Kansas City.
Somebody said we're in the West Bottoms. I don't think we're in the West Bottoms right now. Yeah, no, we're not in the West Bottoms at all. That's not what I would call this. 913-586-7965. All right, I have a couple of college basketball thoughts that I would like to share with you guys here to kick off the 3 o'clock hour. The first one, there were 5 mid-majors that won in round 1 of the NCAA tournament. New Mexico, St. Mary's, Colorado State, McNeese State, and Drake. Those were the 5 mid-majors that advanced in round 1. 3 of those teams have already lost their coaches before the second weekend of the tournament has gotten going. It's really, really hard, I think, to build the continuity that we've seen at some of these mid-majors if their coaches don't stick around. One of the problems that I have with the way that we discuss the transfer portal is, yes, sure, there are some kids that are abusing the transfer portal, just like abuse any system that's out there. But if you take somebody like Ben McCollum, who I have absolutely no issue with what Ben McCollum has done, he has done what most people do. He started at a small job. He then got a promotion, went to Drake, had great success at Drake in his 1 year, and now he has turned that into what I'm imagining is one of his dream jobs, the kid that was born and raised in Storm City, Iowa, who has now become the head coach at the University of Iowa. Congratulations to him. Ben McCollum is now coaching at his third different school in 3 years. When that's the case for the college kid, we normally kind of poke fun at it. But how is it perfectly fine for the coaches to do so? And we hear these coaches talk about the portal and how it shouldn't be open. The transfer portal opened today. There is a kid on Michigan that has already entered the transfer portal. They are in the Sweet 16. Well, how can we be mad at kids for entering the transfer portal if coaches have already entered the transfer portal? Ben McCollum, you don't negotiate that deal and it gets done in 24 hours. You were talking to them while you were the head coach at Drake, and you were preparing that whenever your team was eliminated, you were going to take the job. Same thing with McNeese State, same thing with Colorado State. You don't take a Power 5 job at Minnesota. You don't just take that on a 72-hour, hey, or would you be interested? No. Your agent has been working behind the scenes to get this done. Again, I'm not mad at these coaches for taking the opportunity. If you were Ben McCollum, you have certainly paid your dues. You won championships at the D2 level. You had evolved past the D2 level. You then get the call up. In year one, you win 30 games. You win a game in the NCAA tournament. Now the big schools have come calling. But how can we be mad when this is what kids are doing now? Florida's best player yesterday. Everybody's going crazy about Walter Clayton Jr., and you should. He's one of the best guards in the country. He started his career at Iona, and then Florida wanted him to go there. Yes, you go take the Florida job if you get the opportunity to. So that's one side of the coin. There were five mid-majors that advanced past round one. Three of those coaches have already left and have already taken Power 5 jobs. Now you start the process over again. And you see at Colorado State, you see at McNeese State, you see at Drake, if you're able to keep up that same level of production. Another thing that I noticed, because I was really curious, so I went to yesterday's game. There were eight games yesterday. And I looked up what the leading scorer had done or where he'd come from in all of those games. Did you know that only one of those kids out of the eight teams that won yesterday that led their team in scoring started and is finishing their career at the same school? He was the only kid who had been there past 2 years. Now, some of them are like Cooper Flagg, who was a true freshman.
Yeah.
The kid that made the game-winning shot for Maryland is also a freshman, probably going to go to the NBA next season. He's averaging like 17-6 in the Big Ten. That kid ain't coming back to school next year. It just goes to show you how quickly the game has changed and how quickly it has turned now. That I know that there are some of you that just simply hate the nature of the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness and what it says. Man, you can either adapt or die. And the years of having your starting five be guys that you recruited when they were in high school and developed them all the way until they were seniors, man, that time is just not right now in college basketball. You got to have a healthy blend of the two. Sure, you need your DeJuan Harris and you need your KJ Adams, but you also got to hit when you go get a Hunter Dickinson. You also got to hit when you go get a Zeke Mayo when you call him up from the next level. You got to hit on a Ryland Griffin and some of the other players that they've made. You have to find a way to blend both of the styles in college basketball. You just don't really have a chance of fielding the best possible roster that you can. You can be good without doing it that way. Kind of reminds me of Clemson in college football, a team that doesn't really want to embrace the transfer portal.
Michigan State's kind of portal light right now.
You can be good doing it that way. Can you be the best doing it that way? Because you are cutting off a major way of how teams get talent. Teams are not just getting talent from the Iona and the Northwest Missouri State. They're also taking a kid that maybe wasn't starting at KU, and now he wants more of an opportunity, and now he comes to your place and is a starter. Or the kid we were talking about, Kyan Evans. Well, his coach just left. Maybe he doesn't want to go to Minnesota. Now he's a point guard that is available that can step in and start at a high major. There's just a lot of different pathways now to find yourself at a university now with how the game has really changed and how you acquire talent.
So I get what you're saying, and I don't want to come off as anti-portal guy because you're right. College basketball is changing, and we as fans need to evolve with it. But am I allowed to hate the fact that coaches are negotiating contracts, while the season's going on the same way I can hate that it happens in the portal? Like, the whole idea of the do not contact tag for people to enter the portal, that means that kid's entering and he knows exactly where he's going. I don't like that.
That part's already been figured out for you.
I know. I don't like that. I also don't like – I'll use Will Wade as an example. Will Wade on Thursday won against Clemson. On Friday, reports came out that he was going to NC State. He's crying as he walks off the court on Saturday, and then John Rothstein says he just signed a 6-year contract, and on Sunday, the NC State Athletic Program puts out a tweet that he landed. I dislike both of those things. We should have a system, and maybe there's another old man screams a cloud comment by me, where we wait for the season to end before we're making moves. Will Wade and his agent should not be a known commodity at NC State before his McNeese team is done. Bennett Sturts is probably going to enter the portal with a do not tag notion.
Yeah, because he's going to Iowa.
He's going to Iowa. He's a bad example, but like it shouldn't be a kid enters the portal, do not tag. Oh, everyone, who's the kid that left Missouri to go to Nebraska?
I think what's happening right now is, and maybe a way to simplify this conversation is, I think you and I want college basketball to have a true period of free agency.
Correct.
Like the NFL does. Now, we're not naive enough to think that all free agents are negotiating their deal in the NFL at the same time. We all know. But there is a time in the NFL where you are completely focused on your business and your task at hand, and then eventually things open up, and wherever you sign, it is your business. Mm-hmm. If you want to go back to your team, if you want to do this, if you want to do that, you stay. I would say pushing towards college basketball and college football being more like the NFL, at least in the player acquisition part, is in the best interest. Where if you want to sign Darren Peterson to a two-year deal, great. Well, you can't transfer at the end of year
Correct.
One and now you're out trying to figure out a way to go to a different school. No, we have paid you up front. Hey, we've given you $800,000 for these next 2 years. You are on the University of Kansas, and I think we have a lot of this. The reason the NFL and baseball and basketball has structure is because of those contracts in place. Everybody is not a free agent at the end of the season. Patrick Mahomes is coming back next year. He can't entertain going to play for the Dallas Cowboys. That's not how the system should work. I think what has happened in college basketball is, I mean, you're silly. You mentioned Bennett Sturts. Let's take him for an example. Even if you believe he's going to Iowa, you would be silly if you're Jerome Tang, if you're not at least putting a phone call in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting in a phone call to him or somebody very close to him. Hey, this is what we've put together if he wants to come to K-State. Before you sign anything at Iowa, at least come down here and take an official visit and let us show you what we have. Why would you not? Where he was committed to, his coach just left. Right now, you are free to do whatever you want to do if your Bennett starts. I'm at least going to go around and listen to what people have to say, and maybe I end up going to Iowa. You and I both think that's what he's going to do. But I think more than anything, you and I just want a little bit of structure and some rules attached to what we're doing, because a system with no rules turns out to what we have right now, which is everybody can do basically whatever they want to do.
Yeah, the NFL is the perfect example. I'm not naive enough to believe that at the combine, it's not known where everyone's going. Like, That's when the legal tampering period actually starts. They don't like saying that. Whatever. I'm not naive enough to believe that on legal tampering day is the first time that Jalen Moore got a phone call from someone about where he's going next. But I would like a system where when you sign up to go to a school, you're at that school, you're not getting contacted by other people. You know what's not happening right now? The Bengals aren't calling Travis Kelce being like, yo, listen, you're a hometown kid. You're probably in your final season. We'd love to have you back. Why don't you just dip out and come finish your career here? They can't. He's under contract. That's how it happens all the time in college football and college basketball is a kid will be told through the grapevine, yo, get in the portal because there's money here. Well, that kid got tampered with. We have to tighten that up. I always use the example that makes me like a hater, but the kid Mizzou got from Oklahoma. That was the definition of Caden Green. That was the definition of tampering.
By, sure.
by,
nope.
des- by
no
100% what it was.
No question.
That kid probably still ends up in Missouri because he's from the area, whatever. But he should have to make the decision to leave. He should hear from what Oklahoma wanted to do to keep him. He should then enter the portal. He should hear what everyone who wants him has to offer. And then if he picks Missouri, he picks Missouri. But it shouldn't be, I'm the starting right guard at Oklahoma. Oh, I'm hearing through the grapevine, money's good at Missouri. I'm entering the portal, do not contact tag. And then 10 minutes later, he's a Tiger. That should not be the system we are okay with. I want structure.
Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by the head coach at K-State's women's, and they have gone to the Sweet 16. It's quite simple. If you become friend of the show, it's the best thing that can happen for your life. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, I guess he was doing okay at quarterback. I mean, he was all right.
Whatever.
You come on this show, you start winning MVPs, you start going to the Super Bowl. K-State hadn't been to the Sweet 16 with the women's program in 20 years. You come on the show, you go to the Sweet 16. That's how we look out for our own here on The Drive with all of our friends of the show. Jeff Mitty will be on the show. We'll talk a little Chiefs before then. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
All right.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
I promise you I want to talk some football. We got Jeff Mitty coming on the show in just a little bit. He's K-State's coach. We changed K-State's season. I know the K-State fans will not acknowledge that. We don't ever get the credit for the things that we do behind the scenes. But K-State hadn't been to the Sweet 16 in 20 years. We say that we're going to adopt the K-State women's and had a women's basketball coach on the show. And look at what happened. Their fortunes have changed. They win an overtime game on the road in the tournament at Kentucky, knocking off one of the Blue Bloods. That's what this show does. We don't ask for anything, man. All we ask you to do is tell one person to listen to the show. Mm-hmm. It's free of charge to listen. Just, hey, next time you're in your group chat, you just throw in there, oh, hey, I like the guys on The Drive. That's it. But you know what, man? I'm going to keep doing this, man. I'm going to keep doing my best. I'm going to just keep my head down, and I'm going to just keep working. That's what we're going to keep doing. Jeff Mitty's on the show in just a bit. All right, I got to ask you this question, Rob. Now, this is the question I've never asked you before. Is this a Two Americas thing? So, someone that I follow on Twitter, he said, hey, do you guys do this? And he had some peanuts in a soft drink. I was like, what is that? I never seen that before. It looked like it was a dark soda, so I just put peanuts and Coca-Cola. I was curious. This is like a drink that people like. I've never heard of this before. 913-586-7965. Peanuts and Coke. It is called a miner's Coke or a farmer's Coke, which makes sense why I haven't heard of this, because I am neither one of those things. I am not a miner, nor am I a farmer. This is a Southern tradition that people love. Also something I know nothing about because I ain't from the South. is this a two Americas thing or is this a Southern thing? Because those are two different things. Two America don't necessarily mean something in the South. Is this something you tried before? Is this like the equivalent of chili and cinnamon rolls, which sounds like a very weird combination to me that people swear by?
I don't know this is a two Americas thing. This might be a farmers thing more than a South thing, because when you were first talking about, hey, there's this drink, it's big in the South, either talking about Cheerwine. Cheerwine, I know what that is. That's like a really big, famous cherry cola type drink that is very unique
that
to the South.
That sounds like a Shirley Temple to me.
Cheerwine.
Is something different?
No. It's like its own thing. It's fantastic. Drink Cheerwine. But I had never heard of peanuts in Coke before. And you said it's a blue-collar, minor thing.
This eating the peanuts? Or like what's
Are you
the,
dunking them?
I'm looking at it right now. Look at this. Like, I'm looking at it. They just put the peanuts in the drink. And they're just
that doesn't look
and
good
then
to
they're
me.
Just they're just drinking it. I don't know what's going on here.
Apparently, the text line is saying it's a very big rural Southern thing. So
some people are saying right here. I just went on Reddit. Now there is a Reddit called Ask an American. We're good Americans to ask these questions to. It says this was much more popular in the era where people drank out of glass bottles.
That makes
Dumping
sense to me.
Dumping the peanuts in the Coke was a way to keep one hand free for driving and smoking. So you can't have both of your hands. So you just go, I'm going to go ahead and combine it. I'm going to throw all,
drive and smoke
I'm gonna throw
and
all the peanuts
the
in the drink at the same time so I can keep my hand open so I can smoke a cig.
That is such a old sentence that, well, I can't have my cigarette and my drink in both my hands and drive a car. You gotta do something.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, this started in the 60s with RC Cola. What is that?
You've never had RC Cola?
What's a RC Cola?
You've never had RC Cola? Seriously? No. RC Cola is not a two Americas thing. RC Cola is just, it's the worst version of Coke. But yeah, that's RC Cola is fine.
What is that? RC Cola?
You don't know what RC Cola is?
That sounds like Dr. Thunder. You tell me you was out here drinking Dr. Thunder?
It used to be Coke.
You was out here drinking Dr. Lightning. Come on now.
If you weren't a Coca-Cola
RC
fan.
RC Cola is nuts.
If you weren't a Pepsi.
You couldn't drink regular Coca-Cola or Pepsi.
You went to the alternative.
The RC?
You went to the third option.
Do you want
to
know what the alternative should be?
Water.
The alternative should be. The alternative to Pepsi or Coke needs to be Sprite or water is what it needs to be. That's nuts. Someone on the text line says, yeah, you get the protein from the nuts, sugar from the soda, and it's not heavy, so you can finish the workday. I've never had this before. Can we try this?
We can try this.
Can we try this tomorrow? For baseball season, let's try putting peanuts in the Coca-Cola.
We'll buy some salted peanuts.
I'm serious. I've never had this before. I don't know what it would even taste like. Can we get the actual bottles? Do they still sell glass bottles of Coca-Cola?
I don't know where one buys a glass bottle of Coke. We can try.
Somebody said round Croyle Cola.
Yeah, it was like the third in behind Pepsi and Coke. You had a third option.
Rob.
We used to have options in this world. Now it's just Pepsi or
Rob,
Coke.
Rob, you grew up on 135th and Metcalf. You ain't never had a RC Cola.
I've had an
before.
RC Cola.
You ain't never had a RC
now,
Cola.
Now, did I all the time reference that it's the RC Cola version of whatever.
That's have you ever had a Vest Pop before?
I don't know what that is.
See, that might be Vest Pop might be a two Americas.
I don't know what a Vest Pop is.
You want to know at every one of my functions, there's always been in the corner, there's been some cans of that Vest Pop. Vest is incredible. They got this peach flavor. Oh, my goodness. You never had Vest Pop?
You're speaking Mandarin to me right now. I don't know what Vest Pop is.
You know what? Why don't we do this tomorrow? I'll get some Vest. You get some RC Cola, and we'll put some peanuts and some Coca-Cola. We'll do this tomorrow as an activity. What time do you want to schedule this? 3 o'clock?
Right before Ryan Lefevre comes
on? Let's do it. Let's have Ryan Lefevre do it. We'll do it tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Poor Ryan was like, I'm so excited to come on and talk Rose baseball. No, forget all that. We're drinking RC Cola.
Yeah, you know what? It's a long baseball season. Why don't we do this? Yeah, no, that's what we're going to do tomorrow with Ryan Lefevre. Thank you. I appreciate that. Look, we're out here solving problems here. We got Jeff Mitty about to join us coming up in just a little bit. The Chiefs, they have made a couple of moves. They have signed Mike Pinnell back on a one-year contract. They have also signed back Charles Omenihu to a one-year deal as well. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at their starters on defense, and they have brought back 9 of the 11 starters from the Super Bowl. I don't really know what the Chiefs need defensively. Now, I would still like for them to go get a little bit of pass rush from the middle. So you have Chris Jones at defensive tackle. That certainly helped out to Tershawn Wharton, who had, what, 7 sacks last year, who parlayed that into $30 million. Salute to Tershawn Wharton. You haven't necessarily replaced that pass rush. But you brought back Charles Omenihu. You expect him to be healthy at the start of the season. That's certainly going to give you a pass rush that you didn't have at the beginning of last season. I would say if I'm looking at it right now, I think you maybe could use. I'm going to say could use. I don't know if it's a need. I think you could use two things. I think you could use another corner that gives you the ability that if you want to tag and trade Trent McDuffie, you feel comfortable being able to tag and trade. You get your first-round pick out of him, and you don't have to pay him $30 million potentially what it could get. You want to probably start that process now and kind of look ahead a little bit if that's what you want to do. And I still think you need a little bit of pass rush up the middle. If you're going to lose Tershawn Wharton and you're going to lose the handful of sacks that he had last year, you haven't replaced that with anybody. So you probably need one more person who you think has a little bit of juice and a little bit of push up the middle that you think can get to the quarterback or not. It's funny because a lot of these pass rush conversations that we continue to have, they really come from the fact of you and I have no clue what they're going to get from Felix Onyedike Uzomah.
Do they know?
I don't think they know. If we knew what they were going to get, I think our conversations would be very different about what the Chiefs need and how you can build this roster up. But the uncertainty when it comes to pass rush from him, I think, has created this that I think you need to get some pass rush just in case he's not able to give you anything this upcoming year. You know me. There's some things you can never have too much of. You can never have too many good corners. You can never have too many guys that can get after the other team's quarterback.
I agree they don't have any needs. But I don't know they should be done. And maybe they're going to use the draft to do this, which would kind of frustrate me a little bit because picking at 31, 62 is not usually game-changer, you know, area for pass rush or corner, but maybe that's the plan. Maybe the plan is, and I'll credit someone on the text line, they talked about this last week, maybe the plan is, hey, we're going to use our veterans to create a basement, and we're going to hope that our young guys can propel us forward, and then we can walk on all these veterans. They draft Travion Henderson at running back, and that means maybe in camp they can cut Kareem Hunt, or they have 1 year of Hunt, but Henderson's clearly better, and that's their play in 2026. Maybe they're trying to add James Pierce. I don't think he'll be there in the draft, but the thought is Aminahu's there, but once Pierce comes in and boom, hits the ground running, he takes off and there's no long-term plan there. Maybe that's their plan. I don't think it's a great plan because I think you need to always be evolving the roster and not revolving your whole premise on, hey, this pick is going to change what we do conceptually, but it does feel like they are going into the season of, we know our basement because our basement is basically our roster from last year. Let's build on that with the draft because there's nothing left out in free agency available, at least not for them. Like Aaron Rodgers is the biggest thing. They're not getting Aaron Rodgers for all the obvious reasons. So it feels like the draft is the only place they can be improving the roster.
All right, I want to ask you this because I know Jeff Mitty is calling up here momentarily. If I did a blind taste test and I put Pepsi in front of you, Coca-Cola in front of you, and RC Cola in front of you, do you think you could tell the difference in the three?
No. I would probably get the Pepsi right, because I feel like Pepsi flavor is very distinct.
Okay.
I would feel confident in Pepsi. I think I'd be puncher's chance to get it right from there, but I'm not a cola connoisseur like that. Is there something that you could do? Like, if I, like, you love Sprite. If I put a Sprite, a Squirt, and a Starry in front of you.
100%. No question I could tell the difference. I think you also could tell the difference.
Probably.
I think I'm so crazy. I think I could tell you the differences in the lemonades. Like, if you put four different lemonade brands in front of me and told me to pick which is which, I think I could do it. I think I could tell you the Minute Maid from the Tropicana. That's how deep I'm in the game right now at this point.
I don't know. I could do that. Do you know people like this? There are people I know that can do that with water.
Like, I can't do it with water.
Like, people are like, oh, it's Dasani. Oh, this is Aquafina. This is tap. I can't do it with water.
Yeah, I don't get it. The way that people talk about Aquafina, it tastes fine to me. I don't get why people hate Aquafina water so much. Aquafina water gets a very, very bad rap, and it's perfectly fine to me. I'll drink the Aquafina. I'll drink the Dasani. I like the Ozarka water. I don't care. Is it cold? As long as it's cold, I'm drinking it. I'm that big time that I can't just drink the water that's handed to me? I don't get it. You probably spend a lot of money on those high, expensive bottles of water, like the $4 or $5 bottles of water. I ain't spending all that. Give me that little Hy-Vee water.
I'm a Hy-Vee water bottle guy for sure. What is the? I think it's just it's like a blue bottle. It's a Hy-Vee brand. That's what I'm all about. People who spend big money on Ozarka or Dasani or Aquafina, those people are crazy to me. I don't get it at all.
All right, so coming up in a little bit, we are expecting to get Jeff Mitty. He is the head coach at K-State, trying to figure that out. We're not in studio, so a little bit of moving parts here. Let's get back to talking a little bit about the NCAA tournament as we have narrowed this thing down to 16 teams, and we're trying to figure out who is going to go to San Antonio next weekend in the NCAA tournament or so. I think the big thing, at least when it comes to mid-majors in this tournament, and we had C.J. Moore last week talk about the mid-majors and why for two straight years we haven't had a mid-major make it deep inside the NCAA tournament. I think what the mid-majors are really fighting the most is, at this point, the majors can take everything from you. They are allowed to absorb your teams. It wasn't that long ago that you and I looked at BYU like a mid-major program. Houston was looked at like a mid-major program. Well, fast forward 5 years, those teams are now in the Big 12. That obviously changes our perception about those teams, resources, who you can recruit, who you can't recruit, etc. So one of the problems with mid-majors is those teams have now been absorbed into power leagues. UCF, USF, they are now major programs. So that obviously changes it now that we have taken the teams that we really want from those leagues. So that's number one. We also have the ability to take your coaches if we need to. We mentioned there were five mid-majors that won in round one of the NCAA tournament. Three of those teams have already lost their coach. Colorado State's coach has moved on. McNeese State's coach has moved on. Drake's coach has moved on. All three of them took major Power 5 jobs, even from the Big East, Xavier, with Sean Miller. Sean Miller is now the head coach at the University of Texas. So if you are not in the Power 4, we have the ability to come up and grab you. You don't really see too many times Power 4 coach leave Power 4 job to take another Power 4. It is usually you are moving up the ranks. So we got the ability to take your team if we want to. We have the ability to take your coach if we want to. And now with the portal and name, image, and likeness and the money that's being thrown out there, we can take your best player if we need to. Yesterday I was hosting on Sirius and we had Billy Gillespie. He joined me to kind of overlook the tournament. He's a coach at Tarleton State.
He's still Tarleton State? I did not know that.
And he was telling me that the last 3 years, they have had the freshman of the year in their conference. He is transferred at the end of every single season.
Oof.
That he knows what happens. These kids get approached by somebody at a bigger school. Hey, we can get you X, Y, and Z. You know that your current school doesn't have the ability to match that. You put your name into the portal and you're out of here. The top point guard right now with the University of Howard, he averaged 18 this year. Guess what? He just hit the transfer portal. You know that he's going somewhere to a big bag. If you want to answer the question about mid-majors and what's happened, I don't have the belief that we'll never see another mid-major again. Sure, there's going to be a team that goes on a run in the NCAA tournament. It's basketball, right? That almost happened yesterday. If Maryland doesn't hit that shot, you got a mid-major in the Sweet 16.
Colorado State, yeah.
You got one game you can win, right? So no one has the opinion that you will never see another mid-major again. That's impossible. No, that's not it. It's about the percentages and the chance. It's already hard enough for you to get in the tournament. There were only four non-Power 4 at-large teams. Three of them were from the Mountain West, and one was St. Mary's. Not your traditional mid-major programs. So
I also wouldn't call St. Mary's a mid-major,
yeah,
by the way.
So we don't even let you into the tournament from the very, very beginning. We then have the ability to come take your coach. We then have the ability to come take your best player. Well, then how do you ever beat us in that scenario? If Kansas can take the best guard from Northern Illinois and South Dakota State last year, and we plan on doing the exact same thing this year, I just don't know how you expect the mid-major programs to close the gap. I made the analogy earlier. This is big business coming in and swooping in and taking over. Big business has come in and said, we want these things. You have resources that we need. We are going to take them. And we haven't seen the big teams split away from the other teams. They have just created a system that automatically creates that separation. We can take all of your resources away from you whenever we decide to do so. Well, then there are no more mid-majors. There are the haves and the have-nots. This is the same system that we have in baseball, where there are a certain group of teams that can get to the resources, that can get the talent, that can get to certain things, and then the other programs, it doesn't matter if you draft Bryce Harper, because the moment that Bryce Harper becomes a free agent, he is not staying with the Minnesota Twins. He is leaving and going to play for the New York Yankees or the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is the system that we are currently creating right now in college basketball.
I think your point about who we let in the tournament is also extremely valid here. Because as much as we take your coach, we take your team, I think those things are very good points. I think the tournament the last couple of years, the tournament committee has shown you, yeah, we're going to take a mediocre Power Four over the best mid-major. It didn't really happen this year because the mid-majors that were on the bubble, they weren't like names. But remember last year, it was everyone's favorite college basketball player. It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Robbie Avila, the kid from Indiana State.
Yeah.
Indiana State was good last season. They were on the bubble all year round. They had a quality season. They had a great score. They had a coach who has since left, obviously, and went to St. Louis. Everyone's like, oh, man, they should be in. They should be in. They should be in. You know what the tournament committee did? No, we're going to put a Power Four team in. We're going to make sure – we're going to get those people in Dayton, and then we're going to get Power Four teams in Dayton, and then we're going to take them and hope that they get the better television viewers, because no offense to Indiana State, you don't draw the eyeballs. It's kind of a gross change.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back in a couple of minutes, and we'll be joined by the head coach of Kansas State, Jeff Mitty, will join us next. Keep it right here. So drive.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
We had two teams that we adopted this year. We adopted the Drake Bulldogs because they had six kids from Kansas City. And you saw what happened. They won a game in the NCAA tournament. Somebody had to take the sacrifice. My Missouri Tigers were the team that had to take the sacrifice. We adopted another team, the Kansas State women's program. They have gone to their first Sweet 16 in 23 years. We are happy right now to be joined by the head coach of the K-State Women's, Jeff Mitty, joins us on the show today. Coach, happy to have you back on the show.
Yeah, good to see you guys. Happy to be back in the Sweet 16, so excited about that.
Coach, let's not talk about your team. Let's talk about us. I just want to know if you are giving us the credit for this overwhelming success and compliment, because just think about it. Once this show and your program came together, look at what you guys have been able to do.
You know, guys, it's all about players. I'm not going to give you any credit.
No, I completely understand. I'm just saying is, just think about it here. You hadn't come on the show in the past, and now you come on the show, and now look what happens. You guys might be going up against one of the best players in women's basketball coming up at the end of the week.
Hey, easy now. I've come on the show every time I've been invited, right?
No, fair point, fair point. Coach, so let's start with this. Just tell us about the game and the excitement. It was actually one of the most exciting games so far in March, whether it was the men's or the women's tournament. You guys win 80-79 on the road at Kentucky.
You know, I haven't watched a ton of the other games simply because, you know, we're in deep with film session. We're in deep with preparation. And so, I mean, I've gotten to catch glimpses, but, you know, I can't imagine there's been a game like that with the lead changes and the big shots. And so, you know, I've got a lot of text messages from a lot of coaches across the country just talking about what a great game it was to watch. You know, Kenny Brooks said it after the game, and I think he's right. Somebody had to win it, somebody had to lose it, and it was just a hotly contested game. But both teams playing pretty well, and, you know, that's what you want in March. And if you're watching games, you want to see a game like that. And so, it was great to be a part of, and great to come out on the side that we did. Obviously, it could have gone either way.
Coach, take us inside the locker room for a little bit for the celebration afterwards. I'm assuming everyone was really excited about a big overtime win in the tournament.
Yeah, you know, I would say this. The locker room was exciting, but the on-court celebration was the there's nothing like celebrating on the road in front of 6,000 that have been yelling at you the whole day. And there were just so many hugs and so many embraces by staff, teammates, strength coaches, trainers, just everybody involved, and it was just a special moment. And you know, obviously, my wife running on the floor, special moment for us. My parents were there, so you know, you just have a lot of special moments. And then some, you know, you've got players' families that are not allowed on the floor, but our players went to them right after that. So the celebration in the arena was pretty special.
You mentioned it's about the players. How rewarding of it is as a coach? You know, you guys have been on this journey since October, even earlier than that, building and building to this spot. What is it like to see them execute in that moment and then get to see all their hard work pay off with the win in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, you know, it is. Those have been special. And this one, as I've talked you know, I think the last time we visited, you know, I talked about our group and how, you know, they started this summer and just wanted to really get this opportunity again. And you know, we've faced the Lee injuries both years, and this team has been resilient. It's learned to play without Lee at times. We're obviously better with Lee, but I think we've grown through that. And then to just see the tears of joy, the excitement. I'll get back to the families that have been a part of our players' journey. They're, you know, obviously since they were very, very little, introducing them to the sport. Yeah, Tamira Poindexter's dad about broke my ribs with a hug. Just so excited, just sobbing after the game, just so excited for his daughter. And so those will be the memories that will last a lifetime, not just for the staff, but players and everybody associated with it.
Right now, we're happy to be joined by the coach of the K-State women's program as they have advanced to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 23 years. You mentioned playing without Aoka Lee. How has that helped you guys? You mentioned that experience. You guys have played in a lot of different situations over these last couple of years. How do you think the experience of playing without her has kind of helped get you to this point where now where she's back in, she just infuses into what you guys have already built?
Well, I think you saw in the second quarter yesterday, you know, we did not shoot the ball very well early, but we were getting good shots. And then Lee picks up her second foul at the end of the first, and Kennedy Taylor ends up with 11 points, I think, all in the first half. And Kennedy gave us a huge lift, and, you know, we end up taking a halftime lead. Lee actually picks up her third. I went back to her with about four to go in the second and was trying to get a couple, 2-3 minutes, and she picks up a third one. And, you know, our team just doesn't panic in those situations because we've played without her, so we know we can do it. I think in the past we probably would have tried to do too much, maybe tried to force some shots, just get out of our game plan. But I think now we've got enough confidence to stay in it through that adversity.
Coach, tell us a little bit more about Aoka and just her. I mean, she last played on February 22nd. She doesn't come back until March 21st. We're talking about a month of not playing. She comes back in your first round matchup. She scores 17. She has 16-9 yesterday. That's really hard to step in. You get dropped in the middle of the NCAA tournament when you haven't played a game in a month or so. Talk about her. Talk about just her resiliency to come back and be able to help you guys and be a major part of what helped get you to the next round of the tournament.
Guys, it's crazy. Out of all the players I've coached, she has the unique ability to do this. And she last played a full game January 19th. We then brought her back against KU on senior night, and you mentioned the date, end of February, and she played 4 minutes and 36 seconds, and she was having trouble with the other foot. And we were like, well, okay, what's going on there? So she's literally played 4 minutes and 36 seconds since January 19th, and you get thrown into the most competitive time of the year and a very difficult first-round game for a center because you're going to play a style that we don't face a lot, five-out shooters, and yet she just excels and does what she does and turns around the next night, two nights later, and plays against Kentucky. She's got an unbelievable ability to adapt and an ability, her muscle memory in terms of shots and her ability to catch the ball in traffic, even when she hasn't really been in traffic, is better than any center I've ever had, and she's a special one for sure.
Right now, we're talking to the coach of K-State's women's program for a couple more minutes. They have advanced to the Sweet 16 after a thrilling overtime win over Kentucky, 80-79. You guys will play the winner of USC and Mississippi State. Are you guys planning on watching that together as a team? What is the plan as you guys get ready for your next matchup?
Yeah, we won't watch it with the team tonight. We're going to let them enjoy it together. They're going to have a little watch party of their own. It'll probably be more fun than my watch party. And then staff-wise, we've kind of broken down things that we're going to be watching. Obviously, we don't have an opponent, but, you know, I think we've talked before. I've broken my staff down into offensive staff, defensive staff. So we've got things that we'll be looking at tonight, and certainly we'll know by midnight tonight who our opponent is.
Can you even watch a game as a fan? I mean, I understand the girls are going to be going up against them coming up on Friday or so, but can you even just sit back and enjoy the game like that and then kind of turn your brain off, or is it going to be work, work, work tonight?
No, it's going to be work, work, work. There's not going to be any, I mean, I'm not going to, I might enjoy the game, but that's not going to take away because I've got a lot of things that I want to see. So, you know, I'm going to be making notes like I always do when I watch a game like this. Now, I can watch other games and enjoy it, but then, of course, I'm going to make notes to take a look if I like an out-of-bounds player or I like a side-out or I like an action. So I guess the short answer is, yeah, I can enjoy it, but if I see something I like, I'm going to write it down and make sure I go back on Synergy the next day and take a look at it. So, you know, you're always doing that. But Tonight will be strictly business. I mean, we're going to get an opponent, and our work starts tonight. It started now, but it starts really for sure tonight at 9 o'clock, and we'll have our opponent to prepare for. So that's pretty exciting.
I got two final questions, and I'll get you out of here with this. I don't want to look too far ahead, but one team is favored pretty heavily in this matchup. How do you think that going against Caitlin Clark the last couple of years has potentially prepared you guys to go up against Juju Watkins, who feels like she is the next star of college basketball?
Yeah, you know, both of them. Obviously, we've gone up against Clark three times in the last couple years, and I think you know, they both provide unique challenges. I think Juju just is so explosive in the half court. Doesn't have the range that Clark has, but has more power around the rim. And so I don't know from a schematic standpoint of how there might be some things that we use, because I haven't dove into that yet. But I think any time, you know, we just got done facing definitely one of the top point guards in the country in Georgia Amore, and I thought our group did a fantastic job on her. We contained her. We didn't let her get loose too often. She still hit big shots. That's what great players do. But she ended up 7 of 23 for the game, and that's kind of what we talked about. We wanted her to be high volume. We did not want her to get that 8, 9, 10, 11 assist game going. Juju's different in that she is so powerful at the rim. If that's our matchup, you know, I think the one thing that I just look at statistically is she can't be getting 8 or 10 points from the free throw line, because if she's doing that, she's going to really, not only is she going to punish you, but she's going to get your group in foul trouble.
Last question here, Coach, and I think this could help some parents out there. I imagine there are times that you walk into a gym and maybe you've heard about one of the players, but you don't really know. You're going into it with a complete open mind. What is a Division I coach looking for when they are watching a high school game and scouting players?
Well, I think one of the things that everybody's looking for is the competitiveness of the kid, great teammate, leader, winner, all these things that you constantly talk about. The obvious basketball skills are going to stand out to you, but the things that get you to that next level are, how hard are they working? How in terms of their connectivity with their teammates, in terms of their leadership. I'll give you an example. I was watching a game the other day, and this wasn't a player that I would say fits, but she would be a winner for somebody because everything she did was positively impacting her team. And so, you know, many times the other gifts get you to our level, but this particular game I was watching, that player is going to be a player for somebody because of those intangibles that you could easily see as a coach.
That is the head coach at K-State's women's program, Jeff Mitty, joining us on the show. They have advanced to the round of 16 in the women's tournament. They will go up against the winner of Southern California or Mississippi State. Coach, I want you to know that the drive is pulling for you. I cheer for Missouri. My team is out. Rob cheers for KU. His team is out. We don't have anybody to cheer for, so we are putting all our energy behind you guys.
Well, guys, I'm going to tell you what. I might give you some credit if we're playing in that Final Four in a week, all right?
Okay, you know what? That's all I want. All I want is for you to call the show as you guys are going to the Final Four and say, you know what? We wouldn't have got here without you guys' support. That's what I really want.
All right, that's a deal.
that is the head coach of K-State's women program, Jeff Mitty, joining us on the show today. Rob, I'm happy that you and I can come together to support one local program. We might not be able to agree on a whole bunch. We kind of agreed on Drake, but you were doing that to troll me. You were doing that out of a place of love. You were doing that from a place of love.
Bennett Sturts, Cam Manyao. I just love local. I hope, you know, I hope Kyan Evans transfers somewhere. Like, you know what? Kyan Evans would be great in Arkansas Red. That's what I really want for all the locals.
Okay, see? That's what I mean. You're not doing that from a place of love. You're doing that from a place of trying to hate. And that's not what I'm doing it for. I'm trying to show love to the K-State women's program. I want to see them succeed. I'll be watching Friday if they go up against Juju Watkins.
Juju Watkins versus Ioka Lee is going to be watched. I promise that.
The drive is up on it. The drive knows ball. I've been trying to tell you that. These people just don't know. Coming up on the other side, let's have a little bit of a different topic, and let's talk about coaching maybe in a way that we usually don't talk about. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's the drive.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.